have your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 12. The book of Luke, chapter 12. An old story that some of us probably already know, but there's an old professor that took in front of his class, he filled a jar full of big rocks. And he filled it all the way to the top and he asked, "Is the jar full?" Of course, they first instinct, "Yes, it's full," because it was kind of, you know, rounded on top. They felt like, "Well, you can't put any more of those big rocks in it." He said, he took some small gravel and he poured it, and it fell down between the cracks in the rocks and kind of filled it up all the way to the top. He said, "Is it full now?" And some of them said, "Yes, it's full." Then he took sand and he began to pour in, and it went down and filled in the spaces in the gravel. "Is it full now?" And of course, they didn't want to answer anymore because it'd been wrong all these times. And he took water and he filled it. Of course, the water filled all the way to the top. He said, "Is it full now?" And some of them finally said, "Yeah, I think it is now." And of course, he agreed with them. "Yes, it's full." And then he asked, "What is the moral of the story?" Of course, you know how kids are. We, you know, think of about anything. There's a lot of different stories you can get from that. And I've even used it at another time to use a different lesson. But his lesson that he was getting over is, if he had not started with the big rocks first, he would have never gotten them all in. And he used that to illustrate the point of priorities. Priorities. Make sure we take care of the big things in life. Make sure we take care of those things that are truly important. Being the Laodicean church age, our great obstacle in life is living at a pace that has us so full, we don't have time to see that we are leaving out the big things. Many times, Brother Ryan, we are missing the big things because we are too busy with many, many other things. And we get so full that we cannot add those big things. You know, being rich and increased with goods, and yet we're spiritually poor. That's what the Bible says. If we're the Laodicean church age, and I'm sure that we are, that's what I believe, we are the Laodicean church age, then we are rich and increased with goods, but we are spiritually poor. So we're missing something. If we are full of sand and empty of the big rocks, then we're truly missing something. The greatest priority in life is to trust Jesus for soul salvation. If you miss that, you miss everything. If you do not stop and understand and make that your priority, I have to get saved, then life is going to pass you by and you are going to stay so full of everything else, and the devil is going to ensure that. You think, "Well, I will at some point in life, I'm finally going to get to a point where I'll be able to just stop." When is that coming? When are you ever going to get to a point where you have nothing else going on? So you're going to have to make it your purpose in life that I've got to get saved. And the wonderful thing about it is you can get saved in just a moment. It's not something hard. It's not something that you've got to spend, you know, years trying to figure out. You can get saved right now. Anyone can have childlike faith. That's what it takes to be saved, childlike faith. You know, after that you're saved, you need to be baptized. It's important. That's a priority. That's one of the big things. You say, "Well, Brother Brad, if I'm saved, you know, I'm going to heaven." Well, baptism is very important as well. Not to get you saved or to keep you saved, but it is important that you're baptized. Then, once you're baptized, to serve through the church, storing up treasure in heaven. You know, the Bible plainly tells us that we don't need to spend all of our time trying to build up treasure down here. that's things that temporary. Things that are going to rush. Things that are going to decay. Things that are going can be taken from you. You're not to spend your time worrying about those things and being overwhelmed by them. You're not to spend your days prioritizing your life to gain here, but rather to store up treasure in heaven, making those daily deposits by doing that good thing that God leaves us here to do. I believe every day God has something for us to do. If it's as simple as make a phone call to encourage somebody, God has something for you to do. Today is to be at church. Tomorrow, who knows? The Lord's going to lead you to do something. If you will stop and listen, if you will make the time, if you will make that a priority to get close to God so that you can hear His voice, so that He can direct your path. Take a little time to read the Word of God. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When we stop and take the time to read God's Word, a wonderful thing happens. He shines the light for us. The Word shines the light for us that we can see. It illuminates our surroundings that we're able to see where we are and where we need to get to. That is a lamp and a light. See where we are and where we need to get to. God will help us, but we have to be willing to take the time to make these things priorities. And so that God would lead us. If you are here this morning, you're just confused about life and I'm just overwhelmed and I don't know what I need to be doing. First of all, you need to be saved. Priority number one. After that, you need to be baptized. After that, you need to look for that good thing that God would have you to do because you have a vocation in God's work that you need to walk worthy of. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now, it just so happens that this was a good ground. This ground of this man was very good. And it just so happened it produced abundantly. He had a bumper crop. And certainly this morning, riches can be the sand that keeps out the bigger rocks. There's no doubt about that. When somebody is rich and that's their mindset, if they covet after silver, they will never be satisfied with silver. If that's their priority, if that's what they have set as their goal in life, they will never be satisfied with that. And it'll always be the sand that keeps out the big rocks. On a different scale, looking at this from a different point of view this morning, if this man had a terrible ground and his crops all were scorched and he barely had a handful on each row, then just as well, he could have become distracted. You know, if the crop had failed, he could have worked a scorched crop during the day and he could have worked down cleaning up at the mercantile at night. And, you know, I've got to make ends meet. Sometimes making ends meet keeps us just as distracted as having plenty, having abundance. So, you know, somebody said, well, I tell you what, I'm just kind of in a bad situation and I've got these things I've got to do. And we can distract ourselves and get so overwhelmed with just trying to make ends meet. You know that the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. So if I make His kingdom work my priority and to be righteous in the sight of God, then God will make ends meet. God is going to help to make those ends meet. And so to get distracted is easy. And, you know, we think about being rich or poor, but there's many, many, many things that distract us. In fact, you're going to be hard-pressed to find somebody that is not distracted. You can have a conversation with just about anybody and watch, and I tell you what, they can turn around and watch you and get the same information. But while you're talking, you can see their mind racing, trying to think of something to talk about. They're not listening to what you're saying because they're trying to think of what they might say. You know, the Bible tells us that's not wise. It's okay to just be quiet and listen, to use discretion, to be patient, and to pay attention to people and not be distracted. But we are distracted. We're distracted in our homes. We're distracted in our cars. We're distracted when we come to church. Lost sinners come to church and they are distracted. They've got other things on their mind. And they hear something about being saved and maybe get stirred for just a moment. But our attention span is just about as quick as our phones are, at the speed of a scroll. By the time we scroll, we've changed thoughts already. And there's lost sinners come in and get a little stirred up when they hear the gospel. And by the time they walk out the door, they've already scrolled to something else. And the problem is we're staying filled up with sand. And we're not making room for the big things. So this morning, if you're here and you're lost, if you are looking for an excuse, you needn't look for. This morning, I want you to hear, it is a foolish thing to be distracted from soul salvation. And it is a very foolish thing for us after that we're saved to be distracted from the spiritual priorities that God has for us. First of all, if you're lost, today is the day of salvation. Hear that. Hear that. I want you to leave here today and you've heard that. That today is the day of salvation and you are not promised another day. So, well, I've heard that before. Let's move on. But are you saved? Because I tell you what, rent's going to be due somewhere down the line. You know, we're going to reap what we sow. Somewhere down the line, you've heard you need to be saved. You've heard today is the salvation. Well, I heard that last week that was the day of salvation. And now I've made it to today, but there's going to come a day when you're not going to make another one. Today is the day of salvation. If you did not come thirsty for salvation today, then you need to evaluate what has you distracted. Think about it. If you die in your lost condition, you will lift your eyes in hell and a lake of fire for eternity. If something has you distracted from dealing with that, wouldn't you have to say that's very, very foolish? It's time to take the jar and dump it out. I need to put some big rocks in the jar. I need to handle some of these big things. I need to deal with the spiritual things of life. That is important. You know, can you hear the joyful sound? Jesus saves. Jesus saves. We sing a song about it. Can you hear that? How many people are hearing that Jesus saves? Oh, lost sinner, I hope that you can hear that this morning. Jesus saves, and if you're lost, He will save you. Maybe you've heard that. Well, I've heard it. 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 But this morning, will you hear it? And in your heart, believe in Christ and be saved? There's coming a day when eternity will hinge upon what you did with Jesus. Did you take the time to care about your soul? Did you call out for mercy, trust in Jesus for soul salvation? Are you saved? It's that simple. There's coming a day where that is going to be the single most important question this world has ever answered. And you either answered it with Jesus or without. You've either trusted Him or you didn't. So, I know we've heard this story, but some of these younger ones coming up, they haven't heard it. But there was a certain man, a rich man, and he had
a servant under him, and this rich man owned everything, and his servant owned nothing.
And every day that rich man would go and look over his property, and he would look all over his substance, everything he had, and he would pass by, and there would be that servant, that one lonely servant, and he might find him over in a hog pen, all muddy up to his knees, slopping the hogs, or he might find him working on the man's fence, or he might find him repairing whatever it is, the chore he might have given him. He sees this man is working, doing what I tell him to do. And he's whistling, and he's happy. Life just seems like it makes so much sense for him. And the old rich man, everywhere he looks, he's always behind, and he's always, you know, got things to deal with, and he's got business to deal with, and he's angry, and he's spitting mad just about every day. He rides by the old servant. He said, I just got to know, you work for me. You're fixing my fence today. You're fixing, you're slopping my hogs. You're taking care of my stuff. You don't own anything. That old shack that you sleep in belongs to me. And it's about to fall in. How in the world can you be happy? He tells him about the Lord. The rich man said, I tell you what, if it makes you that happy, I want it. He said, well, I tell you what, get off that horse and get down in this hog pen on your knees. And let's have prayer. And he said, I'm not getting in that hog pen. And that goes on for several exchanges. The same thing over and over. I want to know why you're so happy. You're just as happy as a lark today, and I'm miserable. Well, you get off that horse, get down in this hog pen, let's have prayer. I'm not getting in that hog pen. But finally, he comes up one day, and he's so angry. Life just does not make sense. He's rich. He has everything. He's got all these different things to entertain him, and he's still not happy. And this one man has nothing but Jesus, and he seems like he is happy as a lark. He finally comes. He said, I tell you what, I'm ready to get in that hog pen. And the old slave, the old servant, he said, I tell you what, let's just step over here. I thought we had to get in the hog pen. No, you just have to be willing to. If you're here and you're lost, in order to be saved, you first have to be willing. You have to be willing to make salvation a priority. You have to hear it and want it. Did you come thirsty today? If you didn't come thirsty for salvation, what in the world is standing in your way from you stopping and seeing, I need to trust Jesus and make preparation for eternity? What's standing in your way? You need to get that out of the way. You need to take your jar and dump it out and empty it. It's time to fix that one major priority. Trust Jesus. That's all there are to it. Just to surrender and trust Jesus. Now, if you are saved, maybe you're here this morning. You're happy that you have trusted Jesus in your heart for soul salvation, but you have a guilty conscience. Something's just not quite right. It's not your salvation. You know that. You can go back to a birthplace. You know that you trusted Jesus and you got that settled because, again, you have that birthplace to go back to. This morning, the child of God is to be rich toward God. Being a child of God, being a Christian, is to be a priority. It's not an afterthought. It's not what we do on weekends. It is a lifestyle. It's living for Christ day after day. We are to be rich toward God. That starts with being baptized. Now that you're saved, you need to be baptized. If you're sitting here and you say, I know I trusted the Lord, but I haven't really told anybody, or maybe I told it to my best friend, but I haven't made it public. I didn't come before the church. I haven't been baptized then. You know the Bible says that baptism is the answer to a clear conscience before God. Being baptized is important. It is a public profession that I trusted Jesus. I I want to be part of the bride of Christ. I want to be yoked up and work for the Lord. I'm going to publicly proclaim to the world that I'm a child of God. You're standing up for the Lord. To be baptized. And if you trusted Jesus in private, and that's great, that's wonderful, because you get to go to heaven. But if you say, but things still don't seem quite right, it's because it is within you now. You are born of the Spirit. It's within you to be part of the church. And whenever we don't join the church, we have a guilty conscience. It's very important to take on that yoke so we can learn of Christ. He's your Savior, but you haven't surrendered to His Lordship. Are you making spiritual deposits in your heavenly bank account? Not if you haven't been baptized. You need to be baptized to trust the process, to see that Christ was baptized. He didn't need to be baptized, but He was, to set us an example. This is an example for you. The early church, they baptized with water by submersion. Look over at Ephesians chapter 2. Let's read verse 8 and 9, and then we're going to read a few more. Verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let's stop there a minute. Brother Brad, I know I'm saved. Surely that's good enough. I don't have to work for salvation. I don't have to work to keep myself saved. And so I want to just be satisfied with that. But why is it that I feel guilty? Because God determined, once you're saved, you need to be baptized. Remember the eunuch? See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Okay, let's step down into the water. That's the next thing, to be baptized. If you've been saved, you have the privilege to work for the Lord through His church for His honor and for His glory. If you lack baptism, your conscience is not clear. If you're saved now and then you say, well, I have been saved, Brother Brad, and I am baptized. I've become part of the church. Well, are you filling your vocation? Are you doing the work that God has for you to do? Because if we are not doing that the Spirit leads us to do, then again, we're going to have a guilty conscience. But the life we live, the pace we live, we fill in that jar full of sand many times. We fill it full of little gravel and we're not taking care of those big things. Look at verse 10. Let's read on. For we are His workmanship. So now let's go back and read it from verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I've been saved, it was not by works. Now verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh, For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now listen, verse 19. Now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, and we're not talking about this wall, these walls here, we're talking about these people, this body of which is the church, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Brother Brad, I'm saved, but I haven't been baptized yet. Don't know that I want to join the church. I want to serve the Lord on my own. I want to serve him from the deer stand. I want to serve him from the golf course. Well, God designed us as Christians, once we're saved, to be drawn. He draws us to yoke up with the local, visible church body. And so, if you haven't done that, then there's going to be a guiltiness just there. Once you're saved to serve him, we're one body working together. We're one building framed up together. And the purpose is to for good works, that we can work so that others can see what we have. Now that you're saved, you have the privilege to work for the Lord through his church, for his honor, for his glory. That's such a wonderful thing to think of, that I can serve the Lord through his church. For us who are saved, it's now in our blood to want to please our Lord. We've been bought by the blood of Christ. His blood hath made us one. It's in our blood to want to be like him. It's in our blood to want to grow. It's in our blood to want to be spiritual people. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Think about a squirrel. A squirrel is his nature to forage. They can't help themselves. They don't know any better. They're just little nervous creatures, just bobbing their head everywhere, looking, digging around a little bit, find something, nibble on it, find something, go hide it somewhere. It's in their blood. That's what they do. You think about old Clydesdale horse. You can take one, buy him, and put him in a pen and leave him there the rest of his life, and I tell you what, that thing will be so miserable. Look at him. He looks like he's dead. He's built to work. That's why God created him. He is chomping at the bit, so to speak, to pull something. That's how God designed him. And whenever you were saved, you were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It's in your blood. And whenever you get occupied with life and you take your eyes off of the prize, you're not pressing toward the mark. Something's just missing. I've got to get that right. I've got to do what God has for me to do. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. These works are carried out through his body, through the church. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes to being lost. We're to trust Jesus and be saved. The Holy Spirit seals us the moment we put our faith in Jesus Christ for soul salvation. Now the Holy Spirit leads us to be yoked up with the local church body. The Holy Spirit points us to the good works that brings God glory. This makes our life a good witness. We are the light of the world. But if you take that light and you hide it under a bushel, it's good for nothing. We're the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, it's to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. It's good for nothing. Don't be so distracted that you as a child of God become good for nothing. We are good for something. God created us for something greater than ourselves, greater than what we can accomplish for ourselves in our own little feeble attempt. We're created. We're his workmanship, created to do his works. Get the big rocks in the jar first. Don't be so consumed by the little insignificant things that so easily beset us that you forget about your soul and about the spiritual things of life. Are you lost this morning? Can I encourage you in your heart? Understand you're lost. Turn to Christ. Turn to Him in your heart. Believe on Him as your Savior. And then spend the rest of your life living to please Him. We'll ask for a song.